y'all. It's Jenny.
Nicole.
And we are back for episode five. I almost said six.
You're a good head start already.
We both sound crazy.
So last week when we talked about the allergies in Texas and spring and everything, I thought I had allergies. Apparently, I had a cold. And so that cold got real bad the rest of last week. And because I love to share things, I'm so polite and nice that way, I've given it to Jenny. Yes. So we both sound like sniffly. So if you hear that, we apologize. But yeah, we just shared a cold.
Yeah. On my tombstone, it's going to say, she said it was allergies because I'll die. We have been like, it's been real gross in here. Just be glad you're not in our office. We've been blowing our nose so
coffee,
much.
Yeah. And the worst part is because they've been filming AP Capstone in here, we've been stuck in the office a lot. So it's just kind of a germ fest in here.
Yeah.
So we may have to spray some Lysol before we leave. Hopefully, maybe that'll help.
Yeah. Every now and then we open the door like in between filming and just take deep breaths of clean air. We're like, oh, we're trapped in our own germs. So yeah, Germ Fest 2018 up in our office. So that's what's going on with us.
So if you wonder why we sound like this, that's why.
Yeah. And it's not like we don't have stuff planned this weekend, which is also a bummer. I kind of don't mind being sick if I can just lay in bed.
Yeah, but this is not one of those weekends for that.
No, it's like a big thing.
Yeah.
You've got Evan's birthday.
Yeah, my son turns 5 on Saturday. He's been telling us all week. Remember, I turned 5. How many days till my birthday, Mommy? How many more days? And he gets an extra day because his birthday's on a weekend, so he gets to bring cookies into school tomorrow. So he thinks he gets 2 birthdays. So yeah, that's Saturday, and then we have volleyball in the around 1 o'clock. My daughter has her game, and then we're surprising him and going. There's a Medieval Times in Dallas, and I've never been to Medieval Times before, but Joe has, and so
cool.
I'm excited for me. And I'm excited to see his reaction. My only concern is that you were talking about, oh, you get to eat with your hands. They don't have utensils. It's Medieval Times. But I'm afraid that that might be a sticking point for him. And he might be like, oh, I'm not doing that. I need a fork. So I'm going to make sure I pack 4 plastic forks in my purse just in case. Because I don't want the entire experience to be ruined because he doesn't want to get his fingers dirty eating.
But, I love that. They're going to pack utensils.
Oh, I am. Totally. Absolutely. 100%. Because I know that if I don't, he'll have like a meltdown about it and he'll refuse to eat anything because he has to touch it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but if I didn't bring that, maybe if I bring them, he'll be like, oh, cool. I can eat with my fingers and he'll think it's awesome. But just prepared, you know, backup.
That's smart. Plan. That's like a smart mom thing to do.
Yeah. So that's
she's got big plans. Medieval Times will certainly do good for your cold.
Yeah,
all that like dust, being
all that dust and the horse stander and all that things. Yeah,
and I am leaving tomorrow after work to go to Midland because it is my niece's prom.
Oh, it's
which
so
is
cute.
Crazy. It's crazy because I can't believe she's that old. She was born when I was in the 10th grade. I don't have any children. She's like my child. So, yeah, she's going to prom. I can't believe it. And beforehand, she's coming, you know, we're doing, like, the picture thing. And instead of going out for a fancy dinner, which I did, and so I assumed everybody had to do that, because I hated that. We went to this country club, and I was like, this sucks.
They served us dinner, and it was not good. It was rubber chicken and mashed potatoes, and I would have much rather have gone somewhere else. But
it's
it was, like part of the ticket.
It's just stuffy and uncomfortable. Yeah. And so my niece, her name is Andrea. We call her Dre. She was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want to go and have a fancy dinner, but we could do snacks before. And she loves Whataburger. And if you are listening to this and you're from Texas, then
you get it.
Yeah,
yeah,
Whataburger. If you're not, then just know that Whataburger is like, it's the best place on earth. You can smell it from a mile away. The onion smell is really strong. But it's fantastic, and so she really likes Whataburger. So we're going to bring the fancy dinner to her. My mom has these, like, 3-tiered silver platters, and we're just going to fill it with Whataburger. Just, like, a fancy buffet of fries and chicken strips.
I cannot wait to see the pictures.
Like,
this is
so excited.
This is the stuff that ends up, like, going viral on the internet when you see this, like, fancy setup. So in a couple weeks, if you see this fancy setup and it's just full of Whataburger stuff, you'll know where it came from.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that just
goes
that's viral.
That's what I told Dre. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to take pictures. I can't wait. And she was like, that is weird. Why are you so stoked just about the Whataburger? And I was like, Dre, this is our opportunity to be famous. So I'm excited about that.
Plus the spicy ketchup. I mean, let's be real.
Spicy ketchup. I actually bought a huge thing of it at HEB when I was in Midland last time and brought it home. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And, I mean, I think that'll be fun. And it's cool that she's going to prom. I'm not going to, like, break it to her that prom is not, like, the most fun thing that you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah, it's kind of a big letdown at the end.
Yeah, the getting ready part is really cool. And then I remember getting there and I was like, what is this? We're all, like, trying to dance. It's super awkward.
There's teachers there.
Yeah. Your shoes are uncomfortable. But you know what? She's wearing Vans with her dress, which
that's cool.
My mom was like, please don't say I paid for that dress and you're going to wear checkered Vans. And I was like,
go with it.
Go for it. She's going to be in such better shape than the other kids. But I don't know. I'm interested to hear what she thinks about it. So.
Post-prom breakdown, whatever, what she feels about how it went.
Yeah, and so next week, I'll put up some pictures of the Whataburger buffet.
Yes, that'll be fantastic.
But other than that, we're just, like, trying to get through the week with a cold. I'm suffering from severe writer's block on the blog, so I don't have anything up on the blog right now. I'm waiting.
It'll hit you on your way to Midland. You'll have, like, this moment of inspiration, and it will come to you, and you'll be like, boom, and it'll all just free flow itself out.
I know. I wrote two different posts, and they were both garbage, so they're just, like,
I don't believe her. I think they were probably fine, but she's being that way about it. No, I didn't. Mine's up there. It's about how much I love Rick Riordan.
I love him too.
I'm a total fangirl.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, but that was my inspiration this week. It's hard to think of stuff that's like goes with what our theme is in libraries and stuff like that. It is hard. Like that just came to me kind of last minute, and I was like, I'm gonna go with this because I'm almost done with the second Magnus Chase book, and I was just like, I was loving it so much. I was like, oh, I love him so much, and then it all kind of flowed from there.
I really feel
like when you are on your way to Midland, it's all gonna hit you, and you're just gonna be like, I know exactly what to write about. I have 3 weeks worth of blogs.
I think so. So hopefully. I probably won't have a blog up tomorrow, but at some point I will because inspiration is going to hit me. But, speaking of inspiration,
we have
the coolest thing ever. So on Tuesday, the one and only Jennifer Laboon, who is our current TLA president,
Texas Library Association. I got a message from a friend and they're like, you know what? Y'all need to act like you're big time and explain what TLA is because you might have people listening who aren't in Texas.
Yeah.
So it's the Texas Library Association. That's who throws our big conference we talked about in the last episode. And Jennifer, we're very lucky because we work in the same district with her. And then she's also now our serving president, planning her TLA for 2019 in Austin, which we are super stoked about. They actually just had a Twitter chat on Tuesday about kind of what if you were going to a conference, what kind of sessions would you want to have? What do you want to see at TLA next year? It was really cool to see kind of ideas. And so they were I know Proco was taking all that in and getting ready to kind of plan because they actually choose their sessions in July.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got this interview to share with you. We're super excited. So we will quit gabbing at least for a minute and let you listen to it. So check this out. All right. So I am sitting here with Jennifer Laboon, who is the coordinator of library technology with Fort Worth ISD, obviously where Nicole and I work. She has been in the library for 20 years, working with libraries for 20 years. And the most exciting thing is she's also our new TLA president. So she's the president of the Texas Library Association, which we are super excited about. It's cool to have one of our own. So first of all, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is very exciting. I've been listening to your podcasts and then I got a little scared when you asked me to be on it because this is a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm doing all kinds of things out of my comfort zone, so glad to know I still have it in me.
Yeah, and it's pretty casual. Like, you guys can't see what we're doing, but we're just, like, sitting in our office with a microphone. I feel like we talk it up more. People maybe, we're not in a studio. No. I mean, now I've ruined the magic, but we're not.
I was really kind of like, this is it.
I know. It's not super exciting when you see it. So
your desk is much cleaner than mine.
We've been working really hard on that.
We have been all year.
Yeah, so we got rid of our like sitting desk and bought those standing desks so we could get rid of things, which If you could see our office, and we will put a picture of it up, it is not. It is very cluttered. I've got like 75 children's toys on my shelf, but, you know, it happens.
My son would love to come over here and just, you know, explore all of the things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
Every kid who comes in here does that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They do. So we want to talk about advocacy today because when we think about that, we always think about your name because you are like, that's, you're so good at it. Because
I have a soapbox that I bring to every meeting yes. when I come talk to you guys. Well, it's just what I do because at the time that I entered the field, our jobs were fairly secure. And then we went through many, many scares of, are we going to lose our jobs? And, you know, and, you know, why did we go into this career if it's going away? And the more over time I've thought about it, we're fine as long as we continue to tell our story. Our jobs are not in jeopardy of going away if people know what it is that we do. For example, doctors, their whole work that they do has changed so much over, let's say, the last 20 years, just like mm-hmm. ours. Nobody's trying to rename them into, you know, medical specialist something. They just call them doctors. You know, we're not trying to become a different thing. We're still librarians. Just the work that we do is evolving with the world around us. And so same thing with our library spaces. I mean, we could call it a learning commons. We can call it a media center. We could call it a learning, you know, whatever. But it's still a library if we help people understand that a library and a librarian evolve with the world, just like every other career and facet of our society. So,
man, that's so true. And I've never thought about it that way. Like with the doctor analogy, that I'm like, man, why do we keep changing our names? We're just librarians.
We don't need to have an identity crisis.
Right.
Let's just, you know, yeah. evolve with the times and tell people what we do and move on.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say that that is like your definition of advocacy? What's your personal definition of library advocacy?
Well, I've kind of stop saying advocacy because it scares people because, right. you know, as librarians, we like to do what we like to do. We like to go into our spaces and we like to help our people find things that help them make their lives better, whatever that may be. It may be a piece of information. It may be a book that they, you know, read and love and then they come back for more. It may just be a quiet space or a fun place or a place to be safe or a place to meet friends, whatever it is and that the need that we're meeting. But we start talking about advocacy like it's a scary thing, like it means going to the legislature or it means, you know, writing a, you know, a PR plan or something. And it's not. It's the work that we do every day, just letting people know what we do. And as librarians, we're really good at doing what we do, but we're not very good at letting people know. But that said, you two are kind of flipping the paradigm on that. And you're really getting a lot of attention because you've made it a priority, which is awesome. I wish everyone would stop and take a little bit of time to talk about what they do while they're doing it.
Yeah. So. And it's easier than I thought it would be. I'm like, man, we just get to like sit and record ourselves and be like, look at, we are so excited about this. It's like, we have an avenue to tell people what we do where sometimes I think we go home and like, you know, spouses are like, okay, I get it. Like, I've heard that so many times.
Well, a few years ago, I volunteered to be on the ASL blog committee, having no idea what I was volunteering for, thinking, well, I kind of like to write. And I've written a few pieces here and there. And my background is somewhat English and journalism a little bit. Not that I ever took to it fully. But, and so when I signed up for this, I thought, you know, maybe once a month or a couple times a year, I'll produce a piece, but I'll help them find content and that kind of thing. And then I found out that I was to write a blog once a week, a blog entry. So I had Thursdays. I think, Nicole, yeah. you like guest blogged yeah. for me once. And so sometimes I got creative and found someone right. to bring in some extra material. But really, once I got started on it, it was not hard. And I found that in the back of my head, I was kind of cataloging ideas for the next time or the next week. And mm-hmm. you guys are probably doing
Yeah, that's
the same
what we
now.
Do for this. And that's what we yeah. do when we do our blog updates on the website. It's just kind of what were we doing that week? What were we thinking about? And kind of how to put that into words.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like with that, it becomes kind of more organic. So it's not like we're forcing it. We're just like, this is right. what we do. So, I mean, it makes
and
it
it's, And it's a, like a daily habit. It's like mm-hmm. exercising or whatever. On Thursdays, you do your podcast or whatever
right.
your schedule is. So, mm-hmm. On Wednesday nights at midnight, I wrote my blog entry because I'm also really good at procrastinating.
Oh, yeah.
But I, you know, there again, I learned what are my limits and, you know, how much time can I push to make sure that that thing gets done and keep all the balls up in the air at the same time. So, and it's doable. It's really important. And in fact, you know, it helped my career, not because it got my name out there, but it helped me be so much more reflective. And I bet you guys are finding that too as you're getting embarking on this journey here.
And it encourages us to stay true to what we do.
Right.
So because we know we're going to talk about it, we're going to put it out in the world, that kind of encourages us to be like, we got to do
it
now.
Accountable for it.
We better do it.
It's that obligerness.
Well, and you guys have such an awesome, unique situation. And, you know, you're the only school in our, well, we have another one. We have a second one. This is so great. And ideally, every one of our high schools would have two librarians and, of course, like, you know, full staff of clerical help. But we have two librarians here at this high school because it's one of our, it is our largest high school in the district. And these two have a great synergy. They work really well together. They feed off of each other, and it becomes almost a feeding frenzy. I mean, everybody's like, how do they do that? And I'm like, they're young and they have ideas. And it's the accountability thing, because once Nicole says it out loud, then you follow back and go, weren't we going to do that? Whereas in my little library, when I had ideas, you know, other than maybe my husband and maybe my friends at lunch, I wasn't, you know, putting it out there where somebody said, now, how are we going to go about doing that thing that you said? Mm-hmm. So I was only accountable to myself. And so it was very easy to fall into routines that weren't bad, but they weren't moving my program forward. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a little bit of the same, oh, it's Monday, so I do this. And it, you know, it wasn't, what wonderful new thing can I bring to bring new energy and life to my program? So
do you think that, you know, accountability is a big part of being a library advocate? And if so, how do you get that if you're in a library alone?
Well, I had a deadline. I had to submit it by midnight on, you know, Wednesday night, or at least get it scheduled, you know, to show up Thursday morning. And you all are that accountability partner. So I think if you don't have that person at your campus, you know, even if it's a paraprofessional that you work with, or if you are a paraprofessional and you're working with, you know, no one else, find someone out there, you know, in your PLN and become partners and say, you've really been inspiring me, you know, and then start that conversation. You don't even have to live in the same town. I mean, we've got so many ways to collaborate virtually. So yeah. I just, between Twitter and Skype and all the other things that we have, tools at our hands, it's so easy to find somebody who kind of matches you or is your match even better, you know, is the partner that you have this kind of idea and they have that kind of idea and together they're perfect. Like, you know how to put the ideas to a good graphic organizer together, but you're not the person to make the graphic organizer. You've got to find the person that's the good with graphics, you know, and knowing that person is really helpful. So,
yeah. And we went to a PLN yesterday. So the first meeting of this professional learning network that we're super excited about, it was at Region 11. Mm-hmm. And one of the librarians we were with is the only librarian in her district. Only librarian.
And she's still in library school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bless her heart.
And so,
as we say, bless her heart.
And so, I mean, that kind of got me thinking about that. She was like, I'm so glad to have somebody to talk to.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, man, that would be hard. That would be really hard for me to keep myself accountable if I was in a situation like that. And I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. And there's nobody else here to, to see what I'm doing.
My first thing was when I got to the library and I was my first year as a librarian, I'm like, I don't know where to sit in faculty meetings. Where are my people? Mm-hmm. You know, and I went over to the fifth grade teachers and I said, I used to teach fifth grade. Can I sit with you? And they're like, okay. And they were sweet and they took me in. Later, I found out that the third grade people were probably my people, but it took me a little while to learn this and made sure that my lunch was always at third grade time. So, but in that sense, I found people that were at my campus that I could work with, but in whatever structure that you're in. So in Fort Worth ISD, we have, you know, 120 librarians in this district. And so there's lots of opportunities to find a collaboration partner. But if you're in a white settlement and you are the only person that is, you know, librarian of record, then you've got to search out. You've got to go outside your district. So regional service centers like we have here in Texas, or your state association or even, you know, go national, because you don't have to be, you know, within shouting distance. It is easier if you can meet for coffee every now and then or to share.
Commiserating.
To share, you know, materials. Even. Mm-hmm. You know, here's the really cool games that we just bought for our library week. If you guys want to borrow them this week, and then, you know, you're exchanging supplies and materials and things like that. It leverages your work.
Yeah, I could see that making it easier. So then another thing is, what if, you know, you find somebody on your campus, right? So you have like somebody on your campus or somebody in your network, and you have all these great ideas. What are some tips that you have to then get like your administration on board or to really show them what you do?
Well, oh gosh, you guys know, I have never worked in a high school, but my husband did. And just listening to y'all talk and counseling you over the years, you have to know how to work with your administration's communication style. So it may be that you're only going to get that, you know, 20 seconds as they pass you in the hall, and you don't know when it's going to happen. It might be tomorrow, you know, when you've had a rough morning and you're, you know, frazzled getting to work, and that may be your 20, you know, seconds for a couple weeks to talk to your principal one-on-one. So you've got to be ready. Some people call it having an elevator story, you know, but it's also having your introduction speech or whatever your urgent pressing need is. So just kind of always having that, you know, the next time I see, you know, Miss So-and-so or Dr. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, I'm going to say, you know, I need a few things. Can we come and talk? Can you come by and see me? You know, that sort of thing to get it out there. If they're email people, great. If they're, you know, if you have to make an appointment to see them through their, you know, secretary or someone in the office, you just have to learn what that is. And then you have to earn their respect of how much you're going to use their time. I mean, because principals, everybody wants a piece of them. And you have to go in and just be so precise and so tight with your message and your question so that they see you as, you know, an easy task to accomplish, you know, something that's helping them, and always remind them, you know, what good things you're doing for the school. Especially if you're coming with a message that isn't, you know, isn't as easy for them to swallow, like something bad happened, or, you know, you need money for a project.
Yeah, it's the budget. Money.
Yeah, yeah. The money is always the thing. And, you know, when I started, we were buying overhead bulbs, and, you know, when you guys were a little bit younger, you could have been in my, no, you couldn't have been in my class, but I would go in and ask for, you know, overhead bulbs, and the principal would say, well, we just bought some. And I said, well, I'm not the one using them. I'm giving them to your teachers. You know, and it was all in the way I explained it. I realized I'm not asking this right. You know, she thinks that I need money and I'm eating the overhead bulbs. And, you know, if she stopped to think about it, she would have realized, of course, it's not, you know, Laboon that's using them. But I just had to ask it in a different way. So a lot of it is just framing your ask, and sometimes you got to practice it before you go in there. And don't cry in there. Just don't. I mean, if you need to cry, call your friend, call your spouse, call your mom, call your library director and cry to them. They don't want you to cry to your principal. Your principal needs to see you as professional. Now, if your dog died or, you know, you have a major illness in the family, those are the okay times to cry in a principal's office. But don't ever cry about work. Yeah. In your principal's office. That's just
I've wanted to cry about budget before, but we haven't. And I feel very proud of myself for doing
I've
that.
I've had those moments. Yeah. We all have, where you just feel so frazzled and frustrated and feel like nobody's, you know, respecting you. But you got to step back and look at the respect and the appreciation comes in different spurts. I mean, we just came through Library Week, and a lot of people were feeling really let down that they weren't getting that recognition. And, especially while other people are out there posting all, look, I got a gift card, look, I got flowers and balloons and my name's on the marquee and all these wonderful things. And other people are like, I got a rock. You know?
I sent myself flowers.
I know. You guys do something else to each other. But a lot of it is, you know, just kind of taking the moments. I mean, when I came in here today, your kids did not want to leave your library. And that in and of itself is a love note to you. I mean, you had to kick them out.
Yeah.
I mean, that is poor a love children. Note to you. I mean, you are creating a space where they love to be, and you're making a difference to them. And their parents probably love you because they're not out getting into trouble. They're in a library hanging out with nice kids, doing, you know, wholesome things, relatively, anyway. Mm-hmm. I think they were doing wholesome things.
They were playing Catan.
Okay.
A very nerdy board game, so yeah.
Well, so there you go. So you have to look at those little pieces of respect and honor, you know, mm-hmm. in different things. And it's those little words that you piece together that make the difference. Some people are very... love language, you know, has to be in the form of a gift or something very outward. Mm-hmm. And if you're that person, this is a really hard career. You need to find a partner and like send each other flowers, you know, to start the week off, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever.
But we make each other certificates sometimes. Like, you're the best librarian I've ever met. And then we sign them and give them to each other.
I heard that from your learning coach. She said that she does the same, that you guys have that good thing where you pat each other on the back, which is good because those pats don't come as often as we need sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think is the biggest hurdle for a librarian in like advocating for themselves?
Well, sometimes it's just getting over the fact that they have to. I mean, you know, they're kind of like, I'm in there breaking my back, doing all of these things for my staff and my, parents and my kids, and you know, my books are fabulously weeded and my book list is made and I have all these, you know, great collection development tools and my library is beautiful and warm and welcoming and the kids are in there all the time, and you're thinking, why do I still have to get out there and tweet it out or whatever and let people know what I'm doing? And it's just, I think we're just in such a egocentric world that if you're not, you know, knocking on people's doors, kind of pushing open spaces and getting into their space, then they don't know you're there, which is why your pop-up library thing really sort of kicked the door open on that. Mm-hmm. You pushed yourself out into their space where, my darling niece, who's beautiful and brilliant and is probably going to get to pick whichever college she goes to, goes to a high school with like one of our nationally known Texas librarians. And I'm like, have you ever met Miss So-and-so? And she's like, no, I never go in the library. And I just want to strangle her because, you know, I know Miss So-and-so and she's a rock star. And I'm thinking, you've never met her and she's a rock star. But it's just, you know, she's an athlete and she's just busy with choir and other things. And they never grace the door. And so mm-hmm. y'all pushing out into that beautiful foyer, think of all the people that you probably picked up that weren't really aware of what you were doing in here. Mm-hmm. I would love to see
just getting them to break that doorway, just to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. And then now we see these kids come in and they're like, what are y'all doing? Which is the part about being confused that we love. They were like, oh, what are they doing? It's mm-hmm. always it's fun to watch their faces and figure out what we're doing next.
Well, and you know, your displays are part of your advocacy. I mean, you are... And I loved you talking about the 3D things. I mean, even just popping that out a little mm-hmm. bit, you know, and making it always change. I hated that part of the job. But, you know, I also mm-hmm. knew that that was not my strength. So I found people that could help me make it better. But I also wanted, when I was in my first library position, they moved my library to a cafeteria. And I said, I'm not a space person. I can't even tell you. I want books. I want shelves. I want tables. I want, you know, some room to move things around. And room to have story time because I was elementary. And I said, but I want glass doors. I said, I don't care what else. I want glass doors because mm-hmm. I want people to be able to walk while the doors are closed so that, you know, it keeps the noise level down because the halls are real noisy in that old school building. I want people to see what we're doing in there. And that was huge for us. I mean, you guys have a pretty good window mm-hmm. out to your foyer. But still, if people, you know, aren't looking, they're not going to come over and see. But a lot of our libraries are really shut off. They're in a weird wing. We built a beautiful new building out in Benbrook. And where's the library? It is on the second floor all by itself. It's this beautiful space. It overlooks the lake. But it's not in anyone's footpath.
Right.
You have to try to get there.
You have to be making an effort to go mm-hmm. there. You would not ever walk past it on your way to a class. Ever. Yeah. And so she has a visibility problem that she has to address all the time. So mm-hmm. she's really good with using announcements and other ways to push out what she does. And she knows this. So you kind of have to take an assessment and go and quit thinking of it as advocacy and just thinking of it as outreach. I almost mm-hmm. think in a way, if you kind of spin it that way. Now there's a piece of advocacy that involves, you know, taking it up a notch more to the, oh, now we're talking about the legislature and inviting those people to our library to see that who are the big stakeholders that have power over us, y'all have done that. Nicole did that this week and reached out to one of our curriculum directors and said, hey, we really love what you're doing and let's talk, you know, and guess what? She got her attention and it's happening. So, you know, you've got to find those ways to get your message out there, and that outreach kind of thing is a little bit easier for us to stomach sometimes than thinking
about it. Yeah, I like thinking of it as outreach. And that's probably my biggest hurdle, is that I am always like, I mean, I painted a full rainbow and like created a garden out of tissue paper, and now I have to take 75 pictures. And so, right. I mean, Nicole and I work really well in that way because she is really good at that outreach, at like pushing that out. Whereas I'm like, all right, I found like 27 rainbow books and now I'm tired. Now I'm done. So I that's something that I personally struggle with. So I know I need to
when we do events, I'm always like, we need pictures. And if we're like in it, we forget about it. But if, you know, we try to think about like, we need to make sure once we're doing it, we also need to record that we're doing it. So A, we remember that if we want to talk about it later, we actually have pictures. Because usually if we present or something like that, we want to talk about what we've done. We want evidence of it. And photographic evidence is the best kind.
Oh, it's perfect.
And I just always want people to see. In fact, when we made seed bombs last week, I was so into it. Like clay, dirt all over my hands. And Cat Emily came out and took pictures because she knew that
Kat
I would forget.
Oh, good, Kat has pictures. Yay.
Yeah, you knew I didn't.
Well done, Kat.
Yeah, and Kat was like, do you want pictures? And I was like, I'm like wrist deep in dirt right now, girl. I can't. And so she took pictures, so that's my goal. That's one of my, we were just talking, Nicole and I were talking about goals yesterday. That's one of my goals, is to be better at that, at outreach.
Yeah.
So.
Well, making those goals also makes it real, you know, because then you got to be accountable. But you also have to put it on your calendar, like you were saying. When you guys did all that planning for next year and you what did you use, your Siri or whatever?
Oh, yeah. She's,
and the voice recognition didn't work so well. Yeah. But I've gotten to where I've, you know, put things into my calendar, because those best laid plans don't get done if you don't make yourself remember to go back and do them.
Mm-hmm. So, and I've gotten that from her, where if I have a random idea that I'm like, remember to tell Jenny, if I don't think about texting her, I'll take notes on my phone to remind me and set an alarm. So I can be like,
just tell Siri.
Yeah.
She knows.
I have some random things in my calendar that says, remind yourself to blah, blah, blah on this day. You know,
just too.
Because, you know, life is busy. We don't slow down very well.
Oh.
And, you know, you throw kids and, you know, spouse and all the pets and all the other things in, and all of the fun, crazy things that you guys do here, you know, just keep it all moving.
Yeah.
Keep the ball rolling.
It gets mixed up.
Definitely.
And so that kind of leads right into our next question, because, you know, Nicole and I were talking about like how that has changed. How has outreach or advocacy changed throughout like the past, let's say, 20 years? So do you think that it's evolved because we're so much more fast paced now?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, I remember back to when I first went to a TLA conference and I did a pre-conference that was an ASL pre-conference on advocacy. And we literally sat and we wrote out these advocacy plans, and they were fine. They were good, and there was nothing wrong with them, but they fit the time period. But if I tried to use that same plan now, it just wouldn't fit, because everything is so much more nimble. I mean, you have to be able to keep moving. You cannot ever stop. The first time Joyce Valenza came to one of our TLA conferences was in 2008, and I was on the ProCo, and I said, let's bring Joyce Valenza. And so ironically, 10 years later, she came back this year, and I said, do you remember this? And she goes, no. But she did remember coming to Dallas, because we treat people really well when they come to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you said something to me that has been life-changing. And she said, what? And I said, and I kind of knew it, but you just crystallized it for me. She said, and technology was just blowing up in 2008. I mean, Web 2.0 was like a baby thing at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so she said, you have to be in beta. You cannot ever wait for something to get there, you know, because the minute you're there, it changes immediately anyway. And the other thing is, you know, that thing of bringing kids in, because they're not afraid of waiting for something to be perfect. I think you guys said this earlier when you were talking about some of the tech tools that you were trying with kids, and the, you know, the kids figure it out. Even if you're totally stunted, you know, like, I don't know. And I mean, I have to tell you that all the robotics and stuff that people are doing right now in their libraries scares me a little bit.
Oh, it scares us too. They're like, let's do crafts.
Yes. But still, you guys could roll that out and you know you would have six kids in the room immediately that would take it and go, oh, we can do this. We can do this. And
oh, they
would
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, you just got to bring, you know, bring the material to them and they'll run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's those experts in every room. So yes, I mean, advocacy is just as nimble as being in beta. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't ever have this perfect plan and wait for it to happen. We just did a thing with our executive board in TLA where we talked, we did the thing of building the highest tower that we could. And my team failed miserably because we were too busy talking about, you know, the perfect structures and all those things. But the team that won, you know, built and fixed and built and fixed and built and fixed. And you, I mean, it's like that saying, you can't, you know, you can't repair a plane while it's in the air. Well, you have to. I mean, you have to be able to just, you're moving and you're adding something to it. No, this wing doesn't work. We're going to put a new wing on while we're flying, you know, sort mm-hmm. of thing. And that's kind of advocacy nowadays too.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
You guys do it very well.
Yeah, we're trying. And then, you know, kind of finally our last thing that we were thinking about, you know, you hear future ready all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind
the new
of like
20th century. Learning.
Yeah. It's the buzzword now. So what do you think about that? Like taking everything we've talked about being an advocate and doing outreach. What do you think the impact of future ready and that idea is going to be for libraries and librarians in like the next 5 years or in the future?
Oh, I wish I had something really pithy to say on this, but the idea of future ready, it's just the way of talking about meeting the needs of the kids that we have today. And so we want our kids to be ready for whatever the future holds. And, you know, this started back with, you know, cavemen, I guess. But I mean, I think back to like when Sputnik happened and the Russians first launched the spaceships, and we were like as a country going and then we started throwing math and science, you know, we had to get caught up and get behind it. I mean, we just keep moving forward every year and every decade and every century, I guess, to whatever the new thing is. But we just need to keep moving, keep breathing. I mean, it gets a little mm-hmm. bit overwhelming. I know a lot of our librarians are somewhat resistant to all the change that's happening because this isn't what I got in it for. I want to do books and kids. Well, that's here, but it's also in new ways and how we share with kids and how we reach kids, because not every kid comes out of the womb wanting to read a book, and there's so much competing for their time. You know, how do you help them find that time to squeeze in things like pleasure reading or pleasure listening, if that's what it has become, which I'm just learning to do myself, which is a thing I thought I would never do. You can't mm-hmm. teach old dogs new tricks. But you know, I'm having to do that with my own son and help him understand that, you know, the skills that he's learning now are not necessarily the skills that he'll need when he gets to the job that will be waiting for him, but he needs to know how to learn. And man, do we do that right in libraries? It's one of the reasons I left the classroom, because it was becoming so, you know, based on here's the test and here's the skill set you need for this test. And that's not the skill set we need for life. And so the library matched that so much better at that time period, you know, late 90s, because there was this technology and all the literature coming together there in the library and information, and it was, you know, exploding. This was mm-hmm. a perfect time for me to come in. And it's fun to see this next generation coming in behind me, where you guys are coming to school libraries ready to be a school librarian. And you're like, you leave, you know, college thinking my goal is to be a school librarian. Whereas mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I guess I'll go teach for a while, you know, and then suddenly I found myself here. Not that that's true of everyone that's been doing it as long as I have. A lot of them knew that's what they wanted to be when they were younger, but so many of the younger librarians, they wanted that. That was their, you know, I want to be a school librarian, and that was their career path. So I think as we move forward, we'll see more of those kind of people who have that ability to be nimble with their work and with their advocacy and with their outreach, and just they know how, because they've grown up with social media. It will just feel like second nature to them. I mean, you know, we have a 20-something that works in my office, and he still has to take a picture of his food all the time and put it on his Snapchat story, you know? Mm-hmm. And And we laugh at him, and, you know, but it's, that's what they do. They, you know, constantly are talking about what they do. And so it'll be easier probably for each generation behind us to keep doing it. So I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And I think we're, I mean, I think 20 years from now, we'll be like, we need to be future ready. Because it's like, you know, yeah, it's always.
We always want to be future ready.
We always have to be future ready. So.
And future, my gosh, future ready 20 years from now will be scary.
I know.
Yeah.
I imagine it like Back to the Future. Like, we'll all be, like, our tennis shoes will lace up, and we'll be wearing really cool, weird sunglasses and hoverboards. I mean, that's just my personal dream, but, you know.
Isn't that everybody?
I know.
Yeah, I remember in being in fourth grade dreaming of the day that I did not have to write things, that there would be this magical thing that would recognize my voice.
And we're still not quite.
Yeah, really. Well, that doesn't work. Take it from me. It never recognizes anything I say.
But we're almost there.
I know, awesome. We are. It's so cool.
If only self-driving cars
that was
would
what,
hurry.
I was going to say, my yeah. husband is, would be like, self-driving cars. That's what he wants. Like, when that happens.
You know, the Tesla will drive itself now, and it will come and pick you up. The guy at the mall told me that. He was trying to sell me a Tesla. I was like, I must be dressed fancy today. You have misjudged my income bracket. But, yeah, apparently, I mean, it's the future. It's
as really a mother cool. of a 14-year-old, hurry.
I know.
Hurry, yes. self-driving cars. Please.
Well, thank you so much.
It was so awesome.
I know. And that gets me excited about, like, being better about outreach and, like, being our
it's
own
It's that
advocates.
Conference high without having to go to a conference. See, you just gave us that.
So you need to go to TLA, but also you could just talk to Jennifer LeBoon. Her number is.
actually, I would like to direct you to our next incoming president, because she's the one that's about to make all the appointments and sign people up for things. But it has been a real honor to serve this way, because TLA has always been my thing. I've always gotten a lot of professional fulfillment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for having me, y'all.
Thank you so much. Okay, that was awesome.
Yes. And we were so appreciative that she was able to come and talk to us, and we were inspired just sitting there listening to her talk. Yeah.
So thank you, Jennifer. We owe you tacos.
Yes,
now.
We do. Now we owe you tacos.
And it, you know what? It kind of came at a good week, like, kind of bittersweet, but, you know, most of y'all probably know that Barbara Bush died, who is also, I mean, one of the original, like, in the spotlight literacy and library advocates. I mean, Laura Bush was more a library advocate. Mm-hmm. She was a librarian, but it kind of made me stop and think about that, you know, when they were talking about how she had died the other day, she's one of the only big, like, outreach people that were doing outreach for literacy and library that we have in the spotlight, you know? So we don't, because we don't have that as much, and now, you know, unfortunately we've lost one of those, we kind of have to think about
how we can make up for it. Not make up for it, but, you know, like.
And how we can be that ourselves. Yeah. We had that interview, and then that happened. It kind of was like a time of
serendipitous
reflection.
Timing of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to spend a ton more time talking today, because we had that really great interview, and also because we sound like this. But we do have, we wanted to kind of tell you what we're going to talk about next week, because we've got lots of stuff coming up.
So we did our third pop-up library. This one was more planned than the second one. Mm-hmm. So we have some reflection on kind of how it's gone. Now that we've done three, that's a pretty good.
And it was, you know what? It was a little bit more low-key, and we noticed some differences in the way the students reacted. So we're going to talk about that next week.
And then we're having our belated school library week, because like we said, school library week, the official one didn't really jive with our schedule. So we, you know, we figured ALA would be okay with it. And we decided to move school library week for us to next week, this coming week. So we'll talk about kind of what we have planned. It's a lot. It's going to be an intense week. We're going to potentially regret some of our decisions of how much stuff we put into one week. But it'll be cool to talk about. So it'll be that. And then we had a request. We didn't get any, like, emails from listeners. And we didn't really want to have time to do a dramatic reading. So maybe next week we'll do
it. Yeah, you guys lucked out this week because we had the interview. But next time, if we don't have any questions, we're going to read a really boring email in a very dramatic voice. And you're going to have to listen to it.
But we did get a request from a friend of ours, Michael Mendez. How many times do we have to say his name before we get tacos? A couple more?
Yeah, a couple more.
He wanted some more tech tool ideas. So as the techbrarians, we're like, yeah, we should probably throw in some more tech. So we've done some hunting around, some ones that we've played with in the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have that to talk about as well.
Yeah, and we have some really cool ones that we're pretty excited about. So we've got lots coming up next week, and hopefully we'll sound like
regular humans. People, yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantees. I do hope that we are not sniffling on our pancake breakfast day, because I feel like
nobody's going to want
to really gross people out.
They'll be like, never mind. We don't want to give the library the money, y'all. Still sneezing everywhere.
But yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll have a ton more content and blog posts, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're open.
Yeah, so.
All right, thanks, guys.